Well, you're losing it. Right now, just in the last few minutes, you're losing it. You are. You have lost, while I've been speaking here, over 96 million of them. You've lost 96 million cells on your body in the last 1 minute. What? It's true. Scientifically proven, you've lost 96 million cells. Now, thank God, other cells have divided and replaced those 96 million. But the number of cells an adult loses in 1 minute is 96 million. And aren't we glad, by His wonderful design, we've replaced those 96 million? That would be a good place to say amen. Because if you're not saying amen, you might be not getting 96 million back. Various cells die out at different times. There are certain cells in your body, it takes months, and they die out, and they're replaced. Some days, some moments, but you replace those 96 million by what you eat, what you drink, and how you breathe. If you're eating healthy and breathing healthy, that's why we have smog alerts in LA, and you're drinking healthy, you're replacing those 96 you're losing with 96 healthy ones. I'm not doing a holistic medicine presentation this morning, but that would give some of you pause. 96 million are going out, 96 million. What you eat, what you drink, what you breathe produces those, reproduces those other 96 million. So the small cellular things in your life really do matter. Small bites matter. Small steps and decisions and choices that you make every day matter. Greg, let's grab this. Can we grab this out? Can I use this this morning? This, we're so cool. We're like retro old school. Can you all see that? Have you ever met someone? Let's just put this person over here. You met this person, and this person has whatever it is, they have it. They've got something you want. They are in great shape. They have a wonderful, sweet relationship with Jesus. Like Janet Rush. I didn't say Greg, I said Janet. You knew it. They have a wonderful, sweet relationship. They're successful in business. They have a great family life, a marriage together. You see it and they go, man, they've got that. They've got the that. Oh, I wish I had that. They know God real well. They have a great, they've lost weight over the last few years. They're in better shape. They're more mobile, whatever it is. They're artistic. They're musicians. They're like Jesse. Jesse's got that as a guitar player. I want that. So, you know what I'm saying? You look, you're over here, and you're looking at them and you go, I wish I had that marriage or that intimacy with God or that weight loss or that success or that business mind. I wish I could be a golfer like that. I wish I had the personal success over addiction or emotional pain like this one has. I wish I had the soul, this the peace, the contentment like this one has. And I'm over there looking at them. I want that. The only way you get that is you do this. The only way they got that is they did this. You don't get that by just going like that. It's little small steps. I don't get a relationship with Jesus that's just, oh my goodness, that's just so attractive and contagious by just jumping in one prayer. You don't get that. You have to do this. It's you grow small to live big. You have to do this. I've had to play golf for a number of years. I'm still not that, but I'm closer. But it's lots of time. You don't become healthy overnight. You don't get the body that you want or the strength that you want or the relationship. You don't get a happy marriage just by, woo, thank you, Jesus. You got to do this. And we don't emotionally, we don't, in a sense, in our own nature, we don't like the this. We just want the that. Malcolm Gladwell, author, research. Malcolm Gladwell, in his book called Outliers, he said this. He said that people look at different heroes of unique abilities. They look at people that have made it, that have something of the it factor. And he said they have found that there's actually a principle behind the scene. And the principle is that it takes 10,000 hours of deliberate practice to become a world-class person in any field. You have to do 10,000 this's to get that in any field. And so he goes and does the research. He shows it looked like the Beatles just years ago just blew up on the scene. Overnight, they just became successful giants in the music industry. He said, no. What you don't know is every night from 8 o'clock at night to 3 o'clock in the morning, they were in Hamburg, Germany, in this little dive of a bar playing music. Over 10,000 hours together before they got that. And nobody sees the... See, we all think they just show up on the scene and they... Woo! That person has got a gift. I got to get a gift like that. If I could only have a marriage like that. It only happens during the this... He shows another one. He talks about Bill Gates. Bill Gates, whoa, Microsoft, billionaire overnight. I mean, in just a few short years, he was on the top of the software industry. No, he started when he was 12 years old writing code. Who does that at 12 years old? He's writing code and he practiced and half of them didn't even work. They didn't even work. And then finally he goes, wait a minute, couple click, wait, he times up with another guy, it clicks, and they did... To get that. In our neck of the woods in Phoenix, Arizona, we love Larry Fitzgerald, football player for the Arizona Cardinals. That man did more than 10,000 hours. He still does this. He's off at his own home back in Minnesota doing practice every single day in the off season, toning his body. He's the Jerry Rice of the present day. I mean, the idea is he's doing this because he still wants to have that. The great theologian Bruce Lee said it this way. I never fear a man who has practiced 10,000 kicks once. But I fear a man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times. Now let's bring that right home to us. In every day, in every meal, in every ordinary existing day, the non-exciting, do you understand? The non-quote sexy, it's not flashy, it's the ordinary day of life, that's the this that gives you the that. Your joy is intricately connected to the small approach of your life with God. But I want to be happy. I want the joy. I want the fruit of the Spirit. Then spend time in the Spirit. And when you get to 10,000 hours and it hasn't worked for you, come talk to me. But I guarantee you by the 10th hour, you're going to already start seeing fruit. But we want the that without doing the this. You still like me? You grow small, you live big. You grow small, you live big. It's the unseen stuff that matters. It's the everyday ordinary that makes you extraordinary. Extraordinary with God. And you can only start on the simplest, smallest cellular level that's possible, and that's you. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. Pastor Greg can't do it for you or someone else. You have to do it, you and Jesus. It starts right in the inside core. It starts right at the primary, single, personal level. That's why these connect groups are so important. They'll introduce you to a simple tool, a method on how to do your devotions. But when you do your daily devotions, when you have some time at the feet of Jesus, listen to what he's saying and talking to your life, you're doing the this, and I guarantee you, you'll get the that. You'll get the life of Christ that overcomes the obstacles. Doesn't mean that you just fly over them, but you've got the authority to go through them. Amen. In the name of Christ. One of my heroes, John Wooden, said it this way. It's the little details that are vital. Little things make big things happen. And come on, we live in a big thing happen world without ever doing the little things. We want the big things without doing the little. So keep doing the little. Keep walking that out. You grow small, you live big. I want to talk about, real quickly, two little foxes that'll mess up your this, so you will never get to that. Here they are. Song of Solomon says it this way, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards. They get in there. Here's some neat vineyards planted. This is where you get your life, your juice, your wine, the very essence of life. This is the fabric, the very foundation of life in the vineyard. And these little foxes can get in there if the gates aren't put up and it's not clean and ready. And they'll get up there and eat all the vines. And you've got nothing to share, nothing to live on. So what are those two little foxes we can look at? Here's the first fox. Sin, listen to me, sin is not your problem. Sin will not mess up your this. Sin has been dealt with. We all sin. Come on and fall short. God's glory. But sin has been dealt with. Jesus took authority, washed us as white as snow, works in our lives, cleanses us. We just appropriate by faith his application of truth. Amen? Sin is not our problem. It is unresolved sin is our problem. That'll trip up your this all the time. Sin that hasn't been dealt with. How many have asked Jesus to forgive their sins? Go ahead, shoot your hand up. Look at that. That's almost everybody in the room. There's a couple of people that didn't. You just sinned. You might want to do that. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Listen, is he not? Can I just go back just a hair in time? When you ask him, when you were under that shame, there is a true thing about the very guilt of sin. It's real. It's not excusable today. It's something there. And when you ask Jesus, something miraculous from heaven comes through the blood of Jesus applied, and you are freed. And you know it. It's gone. You're healed. So, and you don't walk around under that weight. You don't walk around in that pain. There is something of the freedom of Jesus that takes place because he applies the very work of the cross to your life. Amen? I mean, come. I remember that just a few weeks ago. The problem is not sin. That's not one of the little foxes. One of the little foxes that'll mess up your venue and mess up your this is when it is unresolved. When a relationship has sin in it and you let it go. I mean, unresolved bitterness or anger or grudge to someone. Yeah, Jesus paid for the sin. You just have to appropriate the forgiveness and healing. You've got a covered sin, a selfishness, a greed. God's spoken to you and said, Mark, let this go. It's going to eat you up. Release it to me. And you go, no, I like the power of it. I want to stay in charge here. And when that's unresolved, you're opening yourself up to greater pain, to being derailed from the this. We got ugly attitudes and concepts in our mind. We've got ugly thoughts that are going on. And they are ugly. You ain't got no alibi. You're ugly. I mean, they are ugly concepts and things flying around in your spirit. You have prejudice. You've got unresolved lies, unconfessed lies to family members, to spouse, to kids, to yourself. You keep that unresolved. You cover that. That's putting a fox in your vineyard. It'll eat up the benefit. It'll derail you. When you cover these unresolved sins, listen, you know what happens? Ignored sin always, always invites uglier cousins. They say, hey, we've got a little place we can hang out over here, man. This is sort of cool. This is good. This guy doesn't deal with us. We sort of get a little, we just get a little oxygen and a little food every once in a while, but it's not bad living here. And we're messing up his whole life, and then people look at him and go, that's not very much of a contagious Christian. I don't want to be like that, because they're all beat up and they can't have any confidence or strength. So, hey, cousins, did you see it? I like that, because I put that cousins with sins is more sins. That's just me. I like that kind of thing. You invite. Rebellion seeks out partners. It seeks out partners. And you go, well, why can't I have that relationship with God that's strong and effective? Why can't I have a marriage that's healthy and attractive and contagious? You've got some unresolved sin here. You better take care of it, because you're just getting, the other sins are getting attracted to it. Take care of the little stuff, the small things. Grow small. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit. Expose anything. You know, it's not a bad thing to just on a weekly basis, just make that prayer. Is there anything I'm missing? Listen, I can almost guarantee, I can guarantee it. And I'm not selling Men's Warehouse suits right here this morning. I can guarantee it. If you have some consistent, this kind of devotional life, if you do your soap journal, if you do that, He'll speak to those. The word comes in and it goes right to the attitude, the very joint and marrow, and it speaks out the unconfessed things that'll destroy you, the hidden killers of your life. You have them and I have them because we're human. Deal with that little dinky fox. Here's another one. Boy, this has been so helpful to me. Here's another fox. Here it is. You have to learn to master your inside voice. What do I mean by that? It's a little fox that happens in us, and we want that, and here's one of the ways you've got to deal with this, or this gets all off track. Learn to preach to yourself and come forward for the altar call. It's true. You need to preach to yourself and say, yes, that's the truth, and I agree, and that's where my mind and my heart is going. What do I mean by that? You have to conquer the lies that are thrown at you through culture, through the enemy, through other just past pathways and tapes. You have to conquer the lies by telling yourself the truth. Conquer the lies that go on in between your ears and that gray matter up there that happened all the time. They do. Can we all agree to that? You get all kinds of condemning, wacky, weird, isolated, weird thoughts going, you're not going to amount to anything. Mark, when you get up there this morning, where does it come? When you get up there, there are not going to be too many people that really get anything out of what you, in the name of Jesus, I've got to conquer that lie with the truth. You're not out of any effect. You've been doing this for a while, hey, young man, and you're never going to get that marriage. He's forgotten you, and you're not going to get a woman that loves the Lord like you do. And you go, yeah, I guess let's throw it in. You've got to conquer that lie, that half-truth, by taking it to the truth. Psalmist did this all the time. David did this all the time. You could almost open your Bible, go to Psalms, put your finger down, and you'll hear one of these stories. Oh man, these guys are after me to beat the cheese out of me. This is paraphrased, looningized. And they're going to come and get me, and guess what? They're coming after me, but God, I just got to trust you. You take care of them, and then take care of me, because you've been faithful. Yes. And what's he doing? He's preaching to himself. He's saying, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. I've got struggles in my treasury. I don't have money in my account. I'm the king and it ain't happening. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. David, remember that. I remember. Yes, and the Lord is good. He just preached to himself, got saved again. Said, yes, that is the truth. That is the truth. He conquered the lie by telling himself the truth. You've got areas in your life that you just, there's, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's just the rhythm of life, but there are certain days that are just dark. Let's be honest. You wake up and there's just, the emotions are off. They're just dark. They're gray. They're bad days. You're feeling forsaken at times. David did too. Feeling alone. No one understands me. The people that I love the most and they should love me, they don't get me right now. Some of you have had unsuccessful attempts at all kinds of things for a duration of your life. Over and again, it seems unsuccessful. The business, this thing, I've failed here, I'm a failure. You need to conquer that lie by telling yourself the truth. And you get the truth from God's word. Goes back to that devotion. Activate your will or renew your mind with speaking the truth. David said it this way in Psalm 42:11. He said, why am I discouraged? I mean, this guy's writing the blues song. I'm discouraged. Why is my heart so sad? Isn't he? My heart's so sad. Oh, wait a minute. I will put my hope in God. And he had to stir that up to get that out. God knows just how the way you're wired, the same way. Sometimes you got, I don't get it, but I'm going to say God is faithful. By faith I say it, and my mind needs to get right with where my heart is. I will put my hope in God. And then it starts to kick in. Now the emotions adjust to the truth. And then it was, I will praise him again. And then he comes out, my Savior and my God. And I did not add the exclamation point. That's in Scripture. He told himself, that little fox that wants to get into your life and in mine, take our mind, twist it, and get us all beat up, discouraged, and marginalized. Take authority over that fox and kick it out of your garden. Kick it out of your vineyard. Kick it out of doing the this so you will get to the that. That is, listen, that is your responsibility as the gatekeeper of your life to activate his will on earth as it is in heaven. How many times have you and I come to church and we are sucking carpet? And then we start worshiping the Lord. What are we doing? What are we doing? We start turning our attention off of ourselves and we focus on the King of glory, the beauty of grace, the love of Christ. And we speak that as it was said. We declare it. And what happens? Our mind gets renewed. Our heart lines up with what is truth. And the lies disappear. They get placed in a point of captivity. They still don't have the opportunity to come and beat us up. And then we go, oh man, I got to get back to church. Good idea. But why don't you take church back to the this and do it the next day and the next day and do it in your devotions and find you have a sweet relationship with Jesus that you can say, wait a minute, man, I'm telling you, you think, oh, the pastors and spiritual leaders never have to deal with that. I deal with this all the time. You know why? Because I'm dealing with people like you all the time. Oh, they're common. It's common. It's just real. And I go, Lord, how are you going to? I don't have it. They're not going to make it. No, they will, because you're their king. And in the name of Jesus, I am not their owner. You're their owner. You've got this. I recall that to mind. And great are you, Lord. That is real Christianity. That's everyday small stuff. Grow small. You can live big. Why do you fight these little foxes? Why? Because the vineyard, historically when that is spoken, culturally where that is spoken, the vineyard was an epicenter for the existence of those people. If they didn't have wine, their water was not very good. Matter of fact, it would make them sick. If you didn't have wine, you didn't replace 96 million cells. Follow me? So when he said, hey, take care of those little foxes. They'll mess up your vineyard. The vineyard was not only where grapes on the table came from, but the juice came from, the wine, the life of the party, the provision of life, the very livelihood. The future of a family was connected to the health of their vineyard. The future of your life is connected to the health of your vineyard. That is the internal, small, cellular heart issues of your life, right here and here. You take authority over those things. You get involved in that. He said, Jenny and I we had a bad month at church. It's just that one thing after another. Some people, a new fancy big mega church came into town right down the street. I mean, literally down the street. The kick in the backside was we looked at that building to buy about a year before and we couldn't make it happen. Then the mega church comes in, they buy it, and it looks gorgeous. They're a great church making it. And they're rich people, and we're all excited. But at the same time, your heart goes, ow. It emotionally hurts a little bit. I am human. And then we had another thing, and then some pain. And I came home, and almost without saying anything, we looked at each other and said, I've gotten saved twice today. And she knew exactly, and she said, three times. I preached to myself three times today and went forward all three times. You follow what I'm saying? You got the same stuff. Little foxes that ruin the vineyard. Listen, break the power of unresolved, unconfessed sin by just saying, Jesus, I'm going to take care of this with you this morning, this week. I'm not going to let it fester any longer. I'm not going to let it be a calling card to those other sins, those other distractions and temptations. I am going to make sure, that bullseye is removed by the blood of Jesus. Because listen, I'm going to confess it. I'm going to get open about it. There's a fascinating scripture. We like it. We've preached it. We speak it often. James chapter 5, 16. It says, confess your sins one to another, that you may be... healed. What? Connection between healing and confession? And to one another? That's scary. Yeah, that's real. But in all of us, if we'd recognize, I too have areas in my life that I need someone to walk with. That's what connect groups are great about. And I need someone to share that with and go, you know, I'm dealing with this. And I need Jesus to cleanse, but I also need some help. Why? So that I can find healing. Some of you are sick this morning because of unresolved sin. Unconfessed. Oh, Pastor Mark, I feel good, healthy. Yeah. Relationally, you're sick. Sick with another person. Sick with a family member. Sick with a child, a grandchild, a spouse. You're sick. Emotionally, you're sick. Some of you emotionally and mentally, you've been in a pattern of weakness. You're anemic. Get that unresolved sin. Jesus forgives, cleanses, and gives you strength. Walk with somebody. See that liberty come. And what? You will be healed. I'm going to get clean before God this week. Amen. If there's any unresolved, I'm going to get it clean. We're going to pray that in just a second. And then, Lord, captive my emotions that are so... Emotions lie like all over the place. They just lie. They're just liars. And you think the older you get, the less you'll have. Not true. Not true. You get a little more mature on how to navigate them, but you get all kinds of weird other ones. I thought in puberty it was just as weird as it can get. And then you go into 40 and it's even weirder. It's just weird. Because I should be here and this is where I want to be and this is what other people are doing. You got to take captive those weird emotions and feelings and say, this is the truth. This is my identity. This is who I am in Christ. And then speak gratitude and thankfulness out of that. Amen. Stand with me, please. We're going to just do a simple prayer this morning. And would you just sort of close your eyes just in a posture of prayer this morning. And the first prayer is simply this. Lord Jesus, I'm going to get honest and real with you in the area of any unconfessed, The Holy Spirit's already poked you. He's already said something to you this morning. You know why? Because he loves you that much. He doesn't want any more cousins coming knocking on your door. He loves you that much. Just get it taken care of and get some confession to one another. So if that's you, just put your hands out in front of you. You're letting go of that and you're saying, I am going to do business with these unconfessed hidden areas in my life this week. Jesus, you see across this room, many hands, because we're all of the same nature, many hands just placed above in front of them and saying, Lord, here I am, this unconfessed, unresolved sin, brokenness, resentment, grudge, lie, whatever it is, I just say, in Jesus' name, I'm going to let you deal with it this week. I'm going to confess to someone of great strength in my church here. I'm going to walk this out in such a way that we'll find grace and healing, and it won't have power over me because the secret is broken. The secret is broken. So, Lord Jesus, fill these lives. Give them the courage, the grace, and the strength to walk it out. Then the second prayer is, Lord, I want to be appointed and strengthened by you in such a way, even now, that I take captive the lies and bring them to you, the truth. If that's you, just lift your hands up. Just lift them up. We're letting go of the unresolved and we're receiving the courage and grace. Thank you, Lord. Let's just thank him. Thank you that you would pour into us, Lord, insight and strength and gratitude and thanksgiving, that we would take captive these false imaginations, these vain words, and just say, no, Christ in me is the hope of glory. Great things shall he do. My identity is not in what I have done or not done. It is who I am and who knows me. I am a child of the living God. I am his son and daughter, and he has embraced me, and never shall he leave. The love of Christ in me shall be accomplished. What he has started, he will finish. Thank you, Lord. Renew our minds with your truth. Renew our relationships with one another. We thank you for it. We thank you. Can I just encourage you, just some of you that need that. There's somebody in this room, a couple people in this room, you've been battling that gray, that darkness, even last night. Would you just put your hands on your head? I'm just going to pray for you. Just battling that, just those vain, wacky, discouraging, depressing. In Jesus' name, we speak healing into these lives. Just in their simple confession, all across this room where they just put their hands on their head. In the name of Jesus, the liar, the accuser of the brethren. Now listen to that. The only way he's accusing you is you're already a brethren. You're already part of the family. He only goes after ones that he would like to really mess up and get out of the way from being effective in the kingdom of God. So Lord, we take that and say, thank you that we are yours and you are for us, and we release these points of depression or darkness or discouragement and say, we will declare, we will confess with our mouth the truth of who we are. We will spend time doing the this in our devotions this week so we can get the that over our mind. In the name of Jesus, release healing and life and wholeness to these minds in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's thank him for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.